Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You download the crazy sheet, you get you something cold to drink, and you get ready to talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the College Football Podcasting Studio. Scotty is back out on the road. Brother, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm good. Getting ready to get rolling. Good week last week. I mean, the only games that I lost, I put on the board. I mean, that is a shitty. I had a great week, but that's a brutal stretch for the cast. It's just, you know, picking games, and you know, it's harder than it sounds. But it was a fun week. Last week was a good time.
It was good. Good. Maction is terrible. It's watchable, but it's terrible. I don't know what's wrong with Ohio. Offensively, they look like a disaster. Their defense is nasty, but they can't get anything done. But I think we're gonna have to start laying down a
line. Is struggling. They're struggling. How about my Rockets though?
Get you some Toledo, baby. Get you.
They are a Hail Mary, Mark. A Hail Mary from Luke Altmyer from being undefeated.
Absolutely.
Because they've looked better, and if they were undefeated, they would be the New Year's Six guy. It wouldn't be Tulane.
I guess that's
true. How about my man Willie Fritz may be about to hang up 20? Well, I mean, what did he end up with the bowl game last year? And they have a championship win, too. I mean, what's he about to hang up, 12 or 13 wins?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, I mean, holy smoke. I mean, Tulane was 2-10 his first. 2-10. And he's about to win 20-some-odd games back-to-back years. That's pretty darn impressive.
You know, we talk about a lot of things on this podcast. Coaching in college football is so paramount. So paramount. And in the NFL, quarterback play is paramount. Coaching in college football is paramount. Look at Matt Rhule at Baylor. He took over that program, turned it into something good, left it in good shape, goes to the NFL, doesn't work. If you've watched Nebraska this year, that team has gotten better. You know, since they've changed out the quarterback play, they've gotten more physical in the trench. I think they may make a bowl. And this team has been wandering in the wilderness for a long time.
Coaching is key. And the thing is all these ADs go try to make a splash. They want to, they're worried about what people are saying on the internet. Who gives a shit? None of those people know what they're talking about anyway. Go get a football coach.
I agree with you completely. And you know, a couple things. Football coach news. You've got a offense coordinator at Colorado demoted because he didn't like the way Shedeur Sanders was handling the, you know, offense or was getting handled there. Deion didn't.
They took a step back in every statistical category last week, too. Yeah. That's fabulous.
And that team has got a lot of holes. And it's kind of funny. You look back at the beginning of the season. We just talked about Nebraska. Nebraska started the wrong quarterback to start the season. Once they've changed quarterbacks, things have gotten better. That team has improved as the season's been going on. And then we thought TCU was good. TCU's fucking terrible. I mean, that team's going to be lucky to go bowling. I think they've got one win left in them, and they're going to get up and go for Baylor next week because that's all they got left. But they're going to go from playing in the Natty to not going to a bowl most likely this season. That's crazy.
That is crazy. But you know what? It's just the nature of college football. And look, last year they caught lightning in a bottle.
Well, yeah, they had seven games that they won.
We faded them every week, especially when they started winning. And I've got a good friend. His wife was listening. Her son's at TCU. She was just, I mean, wearing me out every week. Just like, why are you always picking against TCU? Because they weren't any good. And you kept seeing it. It's like, you know, this team's overachieving. It's the whole reason I took Pittsburgh against against Louisville when they went on the road. I don't think Pittsburgh better than they are, but Louisville's not good enough to go undefeated. It's the same thing with Air Force. You knew they were going to stumble. It's the reason I took Wyoming 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, because they're not good enough to go undefeated. Those teams are flawed, and sooner or later it's going to bite them. And it bit Air Force last week against a bad Army team, because the Army's not very good.
No, not at all. And a game this week, if you want to play it, that I think is interesting. I haven't decided if I'm going to get down on it. I've seen a few services release it, and that's kind of moved the line a little bit, would be Tennessee. Just to cover the money line against Missouri. Missouri's schedule has been a gauntlet the last couple of weeks, and the last 4 weeks in a row, 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
Missouri's pretty darn good.
They're really good.
I like their quarterback. I think he plays good. But they look like they belonged on the field with Georgia.
Yeah.
And I mean from a physical standpoint. And that's hard to do.
But see, I think Luther Burden, he's going to try to go, but I think he's hurt. And he's a playmaker for them. And I just don't know, you know, with Tennessee, how they're going to be able to do it. Because Tennessee's a different team than last year.
Yeah, physical.
I don't like backing Joe Milton. But, man, if Tennessee's defense last year was this year and you had Tennessee's offense from last year, this team would have been awesome. But Tennessee, they'll lean on you and pound you. And I kind of wonder what does Missouri have left in the tank. Whereas Tennessee last week, their starters played 24 snaps, 37 snaps, something like that.
And boy, so, they gas canned Connecticut. Oh, I can't believe I didn't bet on that game.
Yeah.
You know, to me, though, going to Tennessee really fast, look, how much can you say about how different this team is, yet they're still really good?
I agree.
And they're a totally different offense. To me, that is a mark of a program that's turning the corner. And you got a coaching staff that's going to use the talent they've got available and make it happen. They look nothing like the football team they were last year throwing the football. And they're not trying to.
No,
they've had wide receiver get hurt. Their quarterback's not as good. They're like, screw it. We got to run the ball. We'll run the ball. And look, they had a big lead on Alabama. I mean, I just like what that coaching staff's doing. I think there's good things on the horizon for the Volunteers.
No, I totally agree. And Josh Heupel's looked good. And the recruiting class has been good. I think he rides out this season and we get into next, and it's like he's going to be okay. So I'm not against all that. So, no, anyway, and you got some interesting things this week. I'm reading from some different elements that we could see Quinn Ewers back. And against TCU, and I would love to take Texas in this spot because I think TCU is it's over for them. But I think they realize if Texas wins out, they're in the national championship tournament.
But especially with Alabama doing what they're doing, that's exactly right.
And I would tell you right now, my Bama ticket to win the Natty and to win the SEC, I don't hate it anymore.
Somebody's got to stumble though. I guess if they beat Georgia, they're going to get in anyway. If Georgia keeps winning and they beat an undefeated Georgia in the – boy, you talk about hysteria. That will be – what are you going to do, leave Georgia out?
What if you leave Georgia out, you take Bama, you take whoever wins the Pac-12, let's say Oregon, you take Texas, and you take an undefeated Big Ten winner. And you look back at Georgia and you go, well, y'all really played nobody all season long. And they go, that's not our fault. Well, it is.
We've lost one game in 3 years. That's the initial response, which is kind of hard for me to underrate. So that's going to be fabulous because, look, Florida State don't have many more they can lose. That's the bottom. That league's not very good. Louisville is definitely in the ACC championship will probably be their best opportunity because they've got Miami this week. They've got Florida to end, and who have they got next week? I looked and I can't remember.
North Alabama.
I knew it was somebody that was a layup.
If Florida State wins out, they beat Miami, Florida.
They're in.
I think so too.
Yeah, they're in. But what happens if they lose to Louisville? You have got – this is the first time that I see a way for mass chaos. Like I kept – seeing teams play each other. Are you really telling me that Washington, you can see Washington going undefeated and losing to Oregon in the Pac-12 championship? Because I can. I absolutely can. You know, they got lucky, candidly, to win that game the first time. So, you talk about there's chaos. You know, you think they're not going to be whining and screaming, we beat them once. Oh, you know. It is going to be, I can see chaos this year. So it's kind of fun. But I will also tell you, this is the first year that I ever believe there are six or seven teams that might be good enough to win the Natty. That's never been the case before. And I do think that's a sign of the transfer portal. And I think it's how little these upper echelon teams, their rosters change a ton too. And they don't they can't develop the depth and everything they have in the past. So a lot of things are changing. Good time to go to a 12-team playoff. Let me say it like that.
I don't disagree with you. A couple things. Love the way Mike Gundy handled Bedlam at the end, being like, hey, we ain't playing those fuckers again. It's like, you want to leave, you leave. But we're not going to go out of our way to schedule you to put you back on our schedule. But then I love Drake Stoops' comment this week when the guy asked him.
Fabulous. Stoops was great.
He's like, hey, you know, so what do y'all got left to play for? And he comes out, you know, I love the game. I love my team. And you could tell he was genuinely into it.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Love that. A couple other things I love. UNLV, baby, 7-2. Do not hate on this team. Barry Odom, God, you got to think the UNLV athletic director wants to write a thank you note to Jimbo Fisher going, man, thank you so much for taking Bobby Petrino and his cancerness away from our program so we can do so well this year with Barry Odom out here at UNLV. That team's 7-2, dude, and they're favored at home this weekend against Wyoming.
Yep, no doubt. He's doing a great job. I wonder how long Odom's going to be there. He will certainly be on some head coaching radars pretty fast. Because look, he didn't do a bad job at Missouri. I don't care what anybody says.
No,
I mean he did a pretty good job up there. I don't think they should have fired him when they did, but I think Odom will definitely be on some radars for some jobs. There's going to be a lot of shakeup in college football this year. I think there's going to be a lot of changing. Fascinated to see what Texas A&M does. That is going to be, going to be extremely interesting.
They're going to keep.
Daniels comes back against them. I can't see them winning that football game because I don't think they can score enough to keep up. And LSU can score on anybody. That ought to be. I mean, are they really going to keep that guy with that many losses? So it's just a fascinating. Just a fascinating deal. How about my man? We talked about sitting on the bench last week for USC, Caleb Williams sitting over there and the guy rubbing on his shoulder like, oh, are you okay? Doesn't he get up, shake hands? And then he just takes it, goes on and takes it to the nth degree and hops up in the stands and hugs his mom's crying. Everybody's like, I love to see the want to and all. That's not the way I took that at all. That was not the way that came off to me at all, is that he was so downtrodden and upset and all of that. Man, if I'm an NFL GM, I got a lot of questions. That looked a lot like me. That didn't look a lot like, my team's not performing like I hoped it would. And they're already floating out their ownership for a team. Man, CJ Stroud sure does look like the second quarterback's going to turn out to be the best one in that crowd. So might be happening again this year, too. He's got a lot of question marks. He is not the surefire, he's not Patrick Mahomes. No. I don't think. And look, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid doing what he's done. Mahomes has just been coachable and has improved tremendously since he set foot up there. So is this guy coachable? What's he going to do? I think USC made a good decision switching out, but I don't think it matters. The defense coordinator, I think they got a lot of problems, and they got a fan base bitching and complaining about Lincoln Riley. College fan bases are getting this generation, they're just complete and utter idiots. I mean, they all have a keyboard. They've all got X, they are Twitter or whatever you want to call it. They've all got Instagram, and they have zero idea about the game. Because so many of them never played and don't play.
It is
amazing to me. I mean, absolutely amazing to me that somebody would be bitching about Lincoln Riley. I mean, they're bad on defense. He just fired his coordinator. He'll get it figured out. He already brought in better defensive players. This is a hard game. But let me explain something to you. You want that high-flying offense? Kind of hard to play defense because you know how you get a physical defense? You pound the shit out of each other in practice. That's how you get a physical defense.
So I got one for you. I'll put this out. For any of you that follow us on Twitter, hit us up at The Crazy Sheet, at Mark Atnip, or Atnip Mark, at Scott Denson 1. I don't want to talk about this week because we haven't, but I want to put it out there. We can talk about it next week. Who's the coach at Michigan next year? I mean, because
– based on that response, it sounds like Harbaugh. Be careful how you discipline. Look, what do they know? that the Big Ten doesn't know.
Oh, man.
That's what that response says to me is, did they do it because they called something? Look, we already know there's reports out there that Ryan Day's had family spying on them and private investigators and all kinds of stuff. And that's allegedly that's how this got discovered. And now it's, be careful with how you discipline this because there might be going on other places. Holy smokes. They needed that. Clearly nobody in the Big Ten was around the SEC in the late 90s and the early 2000s when Mike Slive just goes on and just reels it in. It's like, hey, boys, quit slinging mud. Whatever, you get dude. Mud on each other.
I think Michigan.
Get on you as much as you get on the other guy. Shut up and play football. Don't go turn in somebody. Everything goes through the SEC office. And boom, the league took off. Big Ten needs to be careful slinging mud. These coaches need to shut their mouths talking about it. Because let me tell you, none of them's house is clean.
No.
I've been around college football enough to know none of them's house is clean.
I think Michigan hired somebody from the Trump administration on how to create some subterfuge when you dial yourself into some conflict. It's
just fling mud everywhere and just lay it out there.
Just go full Rick James. Fuck your couch. Fuck your couch. Just come on now. I don't care. You don't know that skit? Go back and look it up. It's a fantastic.
That's fabulous. They're not going to be able to suspend him. They may suspend him, but he's going to take it right to court.
They're not going to.
It does violate their book because I heard a legal analyst talk about this on a podcast yesterday, and he was talking about that they'll absolutely get an injunction until after the season, until the investigation's completed. Blah 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 blah. I'm like, wow. I was like. And then everybody in the Big Ten is going to hate them. I mean, at this point, though, same question as we asked, do you just go full, put your hammer down, and just keep scouting them?
Yeah, you can. I just think, I don't know. I like Michigan. I got nothing wrong with them. I don't frankly have anything wrong with them stealing signs. Now, I hope it comes out in a great 30 for 30 or a Netflix special for that matter. So I'm excited. As far as it goes, the more days of our lives college football gets off the field – with everything else that's happened,
yeah.
I mean, we're paying players. You can transfer all over the country. Why the fuck not? Can we not have spies? I mean, it's crazy what goes on in college football at this point. Who cares? It's like there's 37,000 cameras at every single football game. If someone wants to sit in the stands or somewhere and just record a coach, it's like, great. All right, now you got to figure all that shit out. It's like, that's part of the game. You're here to win. It goes on in baseball. It goes on everywhere else. It's like, anyway, beside the point, Scott, we had a weekend last week. I think we were about 500 last week on the pod. Is that right?
Well, let me look. I'll tell you.
Somewhere around there.
I guess total the main picks, we went 3-3 and then went 3-1 off the board.
Anyway, so we're still hovering a little bit above the Mendoza line. I'm okay with that. College football's been hard this year, man. I'm not going to lie to you. First game, Scott, we got two games Thursday night. Southern Miss, ooh la la. Was leaning on ooh la la here, but we've got a quarterback injury. And so I'm going to back off of that game and let it sit. But Louisville, Virginia in this ACC spot, you can get Louisville still at -20.5. Louisville comes in here with only that one loss to Pitt. They've got a clear path. Not only to hit their over-under win total in this game, which was 8.5, got that ticket in pocket, but also to make it to the ACC championship team. And this was a team that no one was talking about. And it was an interesting handicap to me as we walked into the season. Number one, I really like Jeff Brohm. And this is a good spot. He's going home. They wanted him the first go-around. They didn't get him. And, you know, the dismissal of Satterfield to move on from last year to this year, it wasn't like he'd left that team and there was no talent. There was a good roster that Brohm inherited, and then he brought a quarterback in that had actually played for him at Purdue. This is a solid squad. I think other than that slip-up that they had against Purdue, against Pittsburgh when they had to go up there and it was just a really bad spot for them, they're okay. I like this team. I'm going to lay a big number on a Thursday night. Anything under 21 is a buy from me.
Yeah, I don't disagree. This game feels like Virginia has played a little better. It feels like the overs have played too, but I agree with you. I like Louisville here. This Louisville defense is shockingly good.
It is.
They are really good against the run. And I don't think anybody saw that coming. And at the end of the day, this Virginia offense is challenged. Louisville's very good mixing it up, a very balanced offense. So I think they give Virginia all kinds of problems.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Virginia has looked better since they've kind of strapped in there. But I can't see. I mean, this team's 2-7. A little bit of fight left in them. I don't know what they've got. But I'm going to go Louisville. Anything under 21 for me is a bye at this point. Next game, Scotty, Friday night, high school football night. You got two games Friday night. North Texas and SMU and Wyoming and UNLV. North Texas is averaging 35 points a game, giving up 36. They're 3-6 straight up, 6-3 against the number. The Ponies are scoring 40 points a game, but this one's going to shock you. They're only giving up 16. They're 7-2 straight up, 5-4 against the number. These two teams are 45 minutes apart. North Texas is going to drive themselves down into Dallas, and by that, the only people from North Texas that will show up and cheer for this team are probably guys that are North Texas graduates that live in the Metroplex that'll come over to watch the game because they're close to the stadium. It's not like there's a huge home field advantage when you play up in Denton. I like the Ponies here, baby. This team's played solid. Give me Stone Nation. If you haven't watched the Ponies play yet, you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I like SMU here. They have looked good. I think the offense is too much. This North Texas team has had a lot of problems. We talked about 3-6. It makes you have to ask a lot of questions. Is G.J. Kinney the guy who is the guy was an incarnate word, the keys to that success? Because North Texas has had all kinds of problems. He's gone in, done a great job at Texas State. I like Smooth right here. I think they get this done. I think they get it done comfortably. I think this is likely a 25-point win.
Oh, I think this is a blowout.
Yeah.
SMU's got a shot to win the ACC, I mean, to win the conference. And I think you got to stay focused here. I mean, this team legitimately has a chance to win 10 games. And so, yeah. You know, I think they're dialed
in. They definitely got a chance to win 10 games.
Yeah, absolutely. How about the Smooth? Can you imagine getting a 10-2 Smoo and then you're off to the ACC next year? I mean, that would be fantastic for that program. Oh,
yeah.
Next one, Scotty. I want to go back to SEC. Bama, Kentucky. Over-under's 46. Kentucky's getting 10.5 points at home. Both these teams are scoring around 30 points a game. Bama's giving up 18. Kentucky's only giving up 22. Bama's 8-1 straight up after that win over LSU last week and 6-3 against the number. Kentucky's 6-3 straight up, 5-4 against the number. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of my thoughts here, and I'm going to let you fill in the blanks. Bama, after benching, you know, came out slow-ish. They lose the Texas game, and then they sit Milroe in that South Florida game, which everybody kind of remembers. And we just kind of threw Bama away. And we talked about this on the podcast. That's when I actually bought a Bama ticket. And Bama and Milroe have improved. Their offense has evolved. This defense is coming together. Kentucky, I think, blew their wad early in the season. And I just can't see it here. I think Bama goes up to the big grocery store and gets a win here this weekend.
I think they go up and pound them. Watching Kentucky, it feels like Bama's getting right.
Yeah.
Well, this is a talented team, but it just feels like they're getting right at the right time, just kind of what Saban always does. His team's gotten better every week. Kentucky cannot throw the football. More importantly, they had a lot of trouble protecting Leary the game that I've watched.
Leary may be out. Leary left the last game, and then I haven't seen a report.
What I was just about to go to, because they couldn't protect against us, and Mississippi State can't get anybody to the quarterback against anybody. I mean, hell, we make a Heisman quarterback every week, and it is literally – they're not able to protect him. Hell, there ain't no way they're going to be able to protect him against Bama. I think Bama destroys these guys. If Leary doesn't play, I think they get Smooth gassed in.
Oh, that's some good shit right there. I agree with you. I would get this game now. I think this game's going to hit some releases. I've seen it on a couple of folks, but I think this game's going to hit some releases and go up. If you can get a 10.5, I would say you need to buy on that pretty quick. Do you have an opinion on Miami, Florida State? This used to be such a great game.
It was the best rivalry in football.
You think so?
In the late 80s and the 90s, I think it was the best rivalry. I won't even say late 80s. I'll say 80s and into the late 90s. This was the best rivalry in football.
Yeah, I'd agree.
They went at it, and it was like watching the damn Pro Bowl every week. I mean, there was just stud after stud after stud. and Bobby Bowden would be Nick Saban if it hadn't been for Miami, or hell, if he'd had a field goal kicker. I mean, not even, I mean, hell, he was losing because they couldn't make field goals. I mean, hell, 3 straight years, they were wide right was the difference in the ball game. The, you know, this is such a great rivalry. I think Miami's going to come out and play great. I think this is too many points, but this Miami team's flawed, too flawed for me to gamble on it. I mean, for me to put it on the podcast, but I will tell you, I'm going to bet on Miami this weekend. Interesting. I think it's too many points.
Another one I like that I'm not putting on the podcast yet is I like North Carolina laying 14.5. This North Carolina team is better. They finally have started playing defense, but Duke without Riley Leonard is they're bad. And not only that, they may be down to their third-string quarterback. Because what's his name? Henry Balin IV, he was pulled out, and they're not sure if he's playing this week or not. And so you give me Duke on their third-string quarterback when they struggle already against a North Carolina team that I think is trending in the right direction, and I like it. I would lay 14.5. Maybe I don't like to buy the hook, but I think North Carolina beats the dog shit out of Duke this weekend. Not an official play on the podcast, but those are two ACC games that I really like both of them. James Madison, the little purple wagon. You want to lay 25 against Connecticut?
Their defensive end that has just wreaked havoc is hurt for James Madison. So I don't. Probably. I don't know how the hell they're going to score. But
dude, James Madison's defense is nasty.
It is nasty. It's nasty. But I do think it takes a step back because that kid's made it, but hell, I can't remember how many tackles for a while. It's like 25. I mean, that kid is just lighting it up. I mean, he was a legit National Defensive Player of the Year candidate. I mean, he's just been tearing it up. I think he's got 12.5 sacks and is out for the year with a knee injury, which sucks. But
next game we got to go to, Scotty, West Virginia, Oklahoma. Bounce back game for OU here. OU will be back in Norman this week after Bedlam. West Virginia traveling in. The question is, how much does Oklahoma have left in the tank against a physical West Virginia team? Over-under here is 58. Oklahoma's laying 13. West Virginia scoring 31 points a game. They're giving up 24. They're 6-3 straight up, 6-3 against the number. Oklahoma scoring 40 points a game, giving up 20. They're 7-2 straight up, 6-3 against the number. But two straight losses. You got to wonder, does Oklahoma have anything left? The injury report's starting to grow a little bit. They've been in some – I mean, both of these games they lost were to Kansas, Oklahoma State. Both of these teams are going to probably finish with 8-plus wins. Oklahoma State's got a pathway to play for the Big 12 championship in this one. West Virginia, to me, is completely outperformed anything I expected from this squad. I thought Neil Brown was going to be – I thought he'd get fired for sure this season. Now I don't – I think he's – even if he finishes 6-6, I think he's got a job. This team plays physical. I think this is going to be a dogfight right here.
Yeah, I do too. And look, West Virginia's had a tough schedule. Don't forget they played Penn State early in the year. They went on the road early in the season to TCU. You know, they've played when TCU was playing, still playing well. This has been a tough schedule. I like West Virginia here a lot. It's their physicality that I like in this ball game. I think they're going to take the fight to Oklahoma. And I think they're a live dog, Mark. I mean, live dog.
You like Country Roads?
I like Country Roads, definitely plus 13.
Country Roads plus 13, maybe diving in there. I went the wrong John Denver song in your backup there. But I like Country Roads here. I like what this team's got. I like the physicality of this team quite a bit. I think they're getting it done week in, week out defensively. And they can pound the rock too. And OU's defense has gotten banged up. There's actually some key injuries that you need to pay attention to in that one. So I would dig into it, but I really like West Virginia this weekend. I think they get it done in this Big 12 game, keep things rolling, and move from there. Scotty, let's go back to the team that has been so good to us and anybody else in the nation that wants to back them. Let's talk about the Arizona Wildcats against Colorado in this one. I think Colorado is circling the drain. We've already talked about how they switched offensive coordinators, demoting the offensive coordinator last week to bring him down. Oh, speaking of, I want to throw this in there real quick. Funniest tweet I saw all week was how to fix Iowa's offense, which was to hire Dan Enos and then fire Dan Enos, and immediately your offense is better.
So, oh, baby. They did look better last week. A lot better.
And so, yeah, I thought that was hysterical. But Arizona laying a big number. I mean, compared to what we thought going into the season on this one, 10.5 against this Colorado team. Does Colorado have anything left to be able to hang on and get this one out of here?
No, I don't think so. Hey, because I think Arizona's really good. Do you realize how close they are to being one loss football team? Washington's the only team that's truly beaten.
Yeah.
They should have beat Mississippi State. They had 6 turnovers on the road in an overtime loss in Starkville. Should have won that ball game. Had they changed quarterbacks, they would have won that ball game. That's the bottom line. And then they lost in double over. I think it was double overtime to USC, but it may have been 3 overtimes. Either way, they went to overtime and against USC as well, and easily could have won that ball game. So, you know, at the end of the day, I really, really, really like this football team. So it'll be interesting to see how this team goes. Because I don't think because Delora is now back. They're not switching off of.
No, there's no way you can switch off
the QB. I mean, they're not. That's the bottom line. I like this football team a lot. And take that they're 8-1 against the spread as well. Let's ride this, baby.
8-1 against the spread and 1-8 to the under. I think they're going to suffocate Colorado's offense this week.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. That's my deal. Is I don't know how Colorado's going to struggle. They can get after the quarterback. They can get back there. So it's going to be they have really good linebacker play.
Yeah, Colorado's offensive line is bad. I mean, it was bad going into the season. There was no doubt about that. It's just not good. I think Arizona defensively causes all kinds of problems for this team. I wonder if this team's going to be losing a lot of momentum coming in here. Go with Arizona. They are the hot hand. Let's keep rolling with it. Scotty, let's get to another one. Team I was on last week could not get me there, and they're going on the road this week. Iowa State will be traveling up to Provo, play the Stormin' Mormons, boys in special underwear. Over-under here is 41.5. BYU's getting 8 is what you're seeing. Now I've seen that line all the way from between 6.5 to 8. I like Iowa State here. BYU, Keaton Slovis is out. The backup's been in. It hasn't been good since they've gone to that spot. This Iowa State team, I know they lost that game to Kansas last week. We were on them. We thought it would be a good spot. Couldn't get it done. I think they come in here and cover this game. This BYU team is just, frankly, any time they've had to step up and play a Big 12-level roster, they haven't been able to be even remotely competitive. The only team that they've beaten in the Big 12 was Texas Tech, and Texas Tech rolled out an intramural quarterback when they played that game. I have no effing idea other than Dan Enos how this team beat Arkansas week 3 of the season, because they're just not that good. And so I'm going to take Iowa State on the road in Provo to cover the number. It's a weird number at 8. I think they cover this one, win easy, is my opinion.
This is more of a I'm checking off as against BYU here. How much do you think they hate that they didn't hire Kyle Whittingham? I mean, he went to school there. They're watching him just smoke it at Utah and have been for 2 decades. And this team has just been stumbling around. So anyway, at the end of the day, this is an anti-BYU pick. I agree with you, Slovis out. I think this team struggles. I like Iowa State. They're playing better football. I think they get it done.
Last game I got, Scotty, Oregon at home against USC. Over-under here is 73.5 is what it's currently at. Oregon's laying 15. My handicap's going to be short. USC's defense is not physical, and it's actually not that big. And they've been getting manhandled. They just don't get a lot of push. And this Oregon team is rolling. And I think they go in there and get it done. I think they just absolutely pound this USC team. I think the USC team is going to start shutting it down with the losses that they've had. And Oregon, on the other hand, is looking at this thing that they've got a chance to win the Natty. Plus, they're playing USC. This is one of those teams when you play, you always get up for because you want to beat the jersey. And I think this is the chance that Oregon can come in. And frankly, I think they could embarrass USC. This Oregon defense is for real. I think this team has improved every week. When this team hopefully gets a chance to play Washington in the Pac-12 championship, I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I'm rolling with the Ducks at home in Autzen.
Well, here's the deal. SC has sucked donkey balls on the road.
Yo.
I mean, that, there's no other way to say it. At Arizona State, they were not very good. They were 34-point favorites. Hell, they barely scored 34.
They lost to Colorado
and absolutely atrocious up there. Didn't look good there. Went to Notre Dame, got smoked by 4 touchdowns. And then at Cal, they should have lost that football game. I think this team gets hammer time this weekend because this is by far the hardest place to play. I think this defense is playing well. They're going to get after them without having to blitz. And I think they give Caleb Williams all kinds of problems. I'm ready to see the Ducks get it done on Saturday.
This is some Pac-12 after dark, baby. This thing didn't kick off till 9:30.
This place is going to be rowdy, baby. I mean, rowdy. It's going to be awesome.
Going to be some drunk Oregonians up there Do you think they drink any of that Pinot Noir that they make down in Southern Oregon to tailgate with up in Washington?
Man, you know they're drinking some craft beer up there. Let's get serious.
Man, you kind of maybe smoking the weed up there in Oregon.
That's exactly what they're doing, but that's a whole other story.
You got any other games you kind of lean on? I've looked at a couple of things. You're going to laugh.
I love Georgia State this weekend, laying 2. Appy struggle stopping the run. Georgia State -2 at home. I think they're going to pound Appalachian State. I like Kansas laying 3.5 against your Red Raiders. Against Uncle Jimmy's Red Raiders, Uncle Jimmy Roark's Red Raiders.
I've looked at that game inside now. I think Kansas State probably thumps Baylor pretty hard if they want to. I kind of like Charlotte against Memphis. I like the coach at Charlotte a lot. I kind of like it there, but I have not played any of that. That's not official. The other two I've put on, I'm probably going to put on the board that are out there. But, yeah, I like North Carolina would be one of them in the other spot that's there. Where are you on Michigan, Penn State? I think Michigan fucking throttles Penn State.
I think they drill them. I think Penn State's got to run the football. I think they're gonna, even though they're at home, it's early in the day. I think they're gonna run into the same problems they ran into against Ohio State, that they're not gonna be able to run the football, and the freshman quarterback's just not gonna be able to get it done. Easier, obviously, because he's at home, but he ain't gonna come out and throw for 4 touchdowns like he did last week. So I think they struggle. Boy, he just looks so bad against Ohio State. Again, I understand road versus home is significantly different when you're a freshman, but it ain't that damn different. I mean, what was he, 17 for like 42 or something like that? I mean, he was awful.
Yeah.
And he couldn't throw the football down the field at all. I think they struggle mightily. Plus, I think Michigan, this is a full-on circle the wagons ball game for Michigan.
If you want a really ugly watch, take Pitt. In that game against Syracuse. Syracuse is about to go roll out their backup quarterback to Garrett Schrader. He's rough, bro. I mean, real rough. That's one of the things with the transfer portal. There's not a lot of quarterback depth on these rosters, and so it's a big step back for these two teams. I'm not against a Florida pick with Garrett Nussmeier starting for US, with LSU this week. I haven't laid anything. I'm going to have to dig into that one a little bit more. You got any live dogs you want to roll this out on? We can't put a little money line on parlay together.
Hold on, I got one more. I like Texas A&M. If the quarterback plays, Johnson plays, they're going to pound Mississippi State. I think State is as talk about circling the drain. I think the Bulldogs are circling the drain. -18 is the Aggies. I think they covered. I don't know how State scores on that defense. With the offense they're going, they'll probably play Parson, the freshman quarterback, some. It's a freshman. It's on the road. The night game. This is the Aggies' only night game of the year out of all their big games. That's kind of hard to believe. I think College Station will be rowdy. Bulldogs don't have an answer for it. I told you I think West Virginia is a live play, and I do still like that ball game. If Jaden Daniels doesn't play, be interested. See what the Gators can muster up in that ball game. I won't call them an upset special, but I do think that is a ball game that's a game to keep its eye on. And as much as we love Ooh La La Wyoming's, I mean UNLV, Wyoming's a live dog in that game too. They could certainly win that football.
I think you could be right, but I do love me some UNLV. The only other one I've got that I'm going to dig a little bit more into is Arkansas. Team's 3-6. They fired Dan Enos. Offense looked so much better last week from that spike. And it, you know, it looked a lot more like last year. And so this team's, you know, they get a win against Auburn this week at home. This team has a chance.
Yeah, because they play nobody that next week, and then they got Missouri. Yeah. In the season. That's always a close game.
And so there's definitely some chances that are out there. Yeah, they got Florida International, and then they got Mizzou at the end of the season. So, anyway, it's going to be a fun week, Scott. There's some good games out there, good watchability. Hopefully we can get y'all some winners, put some tickets in hand. Biggest play for me, I think, this weekend, I'm going to go Bama minus 10.5 in that spot against Kentucky. I just cannot see Kentucky having anything left, and I think Bama is trending in a good direction, and I don't know that the books have quite caught up to it yet.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think on the board, I think Arizona's probably my favorite play. I think Colorado's got some problems. Like Arizona going up to Boulder.
I'm curious to see if that place is packed house again. That being said, folks, give us a rating, give us a tweet, hit us up. Always enjoy it. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you next week.